Try Paranormal. I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
And today I'm really excited. We're talking to a very good friend of mine, Lehia, about experiences she's had being cursed. So a long time ago, she was told her family had a curse on her. And I like her story because it's not dramatic. We're not going to be talking about things that you would see in a Stephen King movie or, you know, all this like fanciful, are you kidding me, did this really happen type of stuff. This is just like a normal story of what you were told and some actions that, you know, she took to try to get rid of it. So, hello, Lehia.
Hi, hello. How are you guys?
Good, we're so happy. Thank you so much for coming and doing the podcast with us today. So your story starts off, you were told in high school you had a curse. And what country are you from?
I am from Ecuador.
Ecuador. So cool. So what was it like growing up in Ecuador anyway?
It was awesome. I have a very good, close family, a very healthy childhood. Can't complain about it. It's just a very normal, healthy life, per se.
Yeah. What's it like down there? So we always know, we tell the story when my boyfriend first met Lehia, first impression ever, he said, so, what was your village like? Was it like a mud hut?
He actually thought that I used to live, like, I mean, I know he was kidding, but
he was like,
he thought like I live
kidding.
Like on trees, like, right?
Yeah.
It was like, so kind of like, how do we like survive type of thing? It was it was kind of funny, but you kind of like stop him and
so
you know.
It was like this like book of forest people I had to read in anthropology. And I was just like,
yeah, but no, it's not. It's just like same here, but a different country with different values, different food. The education system is way different.
Was it a big city?
Yes, my city has 2 million people, so it is huge. But, and you know, just a big city with just another country, but not like dramatic, like living on trees or something like that. Yeah, for sure. So.
Awesome. So what happened that made you think you and your family had a curse on you?
Well, like I told you, like I have never like we have been talking for how long?
Like 12 years.
Right. And it's not something that I, you know, it's not like a drama, like, you know, my eyes are popping out of my head, anything like that. It's just something that has been haunting me for many years, as you know. Mm-hmm. I was quite young. I was in my teens. Well, maybe a little older than that, maybe 15, 16. And I just did not feel right, but I wasn't sick. It was just not right. And a lot of, I don't know, just kind of like a bad luck incidents. It's just that, I don't know, didn't feel right, but there wasn't physically nothing wrong with me. Neither was like mentally, like I was not, you know, in any type of instability.
Yeah.
Per se. But I mean, in my country where we're from, that's just like in my family, this just not acceptable to even discuss the subject. But my aunt, I have one aunt, my mom's sister. She kind of, one day, she just saw me. I still have, you know, like cold sores, but more like so often that it was just like, I was just sick. That's the easiest way to put it. I was just sick.
Kind of like a lot of colds, a lot of flus.
Yeah, but not. It was, but it wasn't. Don't know. I just couldn't explain to you. And I went to doctors. My mom took me to the doctors. Everything was fine physically. So my mom's sister one day said, hey, what if, you know, something else is going on in your house, in your life. However, my mom wanted nothing to do with that.
So basically, if it's not something natural, maybe it's something supernatural.
Yeah.
Do people down there typically not believe in that?
Yes, because my country is very religious.
Yeah.
So it's not acceptable. It's actually it's a sin, you know? But like even before that, I remember that when we were kids, you know, how there's some people that read the cards. I think I told you that.
Yeah, like tarot cards.
Like, just like,
yeah.
But you don't know.
Just like
people
here.
Just like, you know, So I never believed on that, though. I don't know. I was just not, I don't know. But my mom's sister was the one who somehow convinced my mom to take me to this woman who, what I remember, I was still young. She lived in the south part of our city. It was kind of hard to get to it. And she read the cards. And the one thing she said, she could have, you know, just say a lot of things just to make money off. And that's what scared me, because she said, you know what, honey? I could tell you that I could do something, but what I see in here is, like, bigger than I could do. So you need to go and see this person. And she kind of, like, just wanted to just, like, get me out of there. But her expression, it just kind of freaks me out. Basically, she said that someone did something to our family, and it got to the most sensitive one of them, and that would be me. At that moment, though, I thought it was one of the housekeepers that used to live with us. She was quite weird. I mean, I don't know. You know, you try to tie things together. And right. I thought that she was really weird. She was just this miserable person who hates her job. And
was
she wasn't mean, but she, okay. So she was a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. She was disabled. She got run over by a car when she was really young. So she wasn't, like, mentally ill, but somewhat she was.
Oh, like, really disgruntled, like, that'll mess you up.
Like, she was angry. Normal, but, like, some language, mm-hmm. Like, when you talk to her, she was kind of, like, I don't know how to say, like...
Like a speech impediment?
Yeah, but another thing also, she was an amazing cook and everything, but she was always pissed off. That's all I remember. And sure, I was, you know, like, a teenager, per se, and I know a lot of times I wasn't too nice to her. That was the only person, anyway, that I could think of. I mean, who else, right?
Yeah.
So, after that, though, my mom agreed to take me to this woman. So it was my mom, my mom's sister, and I who went to see this woman. And this woman was the one to said to me that I have to, or I must, see this shaman. We call them shamans.
Okay.
We did not know anything about it. I've never even heard of it. My mom totally disagreed, but she did. And I don't remember everything I told you. Like, God, it was like 2 hours away from our city to begin with. So my mom was already pissed off just because of that.
Right.
And we got there. I mean, before that, to make an appointment with this man, it was like, I'm not kidding you. He was just so busy. I mean, it took us weeks to get to him. And people from all social, you know, how do I say
social? Like all different economic backgrounds.
Yes, we'll go to him, which is a very poor house. He was so busy, though. It was incredible. I was there. I was sitting. I'm not kidding you. It was like, he didn't have an office or anything. It was just like a house on the, it was like a, in the dirt, you know, not a driveway or anything. But we wait for a little while, and then when he came to us, well, he wanted me to, he explained how was it going to be. He said that he does have to do some kind of, some type of, like, curing me, prayers, and I think he mentioned, like, spitting some type of alcohol to just kind of just expel everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was attached to me. And he wanted me to get totally undressed. And that's when my mom drew the line and pulled me away from it.
What kind of shop was this again?
Well, it's... the name of these people, actually, is very interesting. I didn't look too much into it after that because I was really upset, because I really thought that I had something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom just didn't want to take care of it. But the name of these people, who are rare to find, by the way, are shamans. It's not religious of any type. It's just these people to believe that have powers to help people who don't seem to have anything physically, but yet suffer with something that has no explanation. I mean, that's the easiest to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know of a couple. I mean, like a very couple. You know, it's not a common thing. It's not a career.
It's not a common thing.
So it's not religious. No. But I know another woman who was talking about, she knows a shaman up in Canada. And, you know, she wasn't talking so much about curse stuff. But, you know, just anything that's like shamanic healing. So they're healers, basically.
And yeah, also like for health-wise, like if you don't want to take medicines per se for something that's wrong with your body physically, there are ways that they cure it.
Right.
So it's not just like it's for that. It's like for everything.
Yeah.
But they are so rare and it's just, it's interesting. I mean.
It is. The spitting thing is interesting because I knew of something. It was actually one of my professors was telling the class a story about he knew this girl who had really bad asthma. And when she was a kid, you know, just the doctors couldn't fix it, just really, really bad case of it. And she was actually brought to a shaman. Like, I wouldn't even think of that. I don't know how that came to be. But one of the things they did was he was drinking something and spitting it on her. And, you know, she said she hated it. Like, it was disgusting. And, you know, her parents were like, we're going to try this, you know. And her asthma ended up actually going away. And I guess years later, she had a brother many years apart, like 8-9 years younger than her. He also had the really bad asthma. And by then, they didn't know where to find this guy anymore. But she was really upset. She wanted him to go for that. So,
yeah, it's amazing. It's not just, like, see, it's things like that. Like, they are like this amazingly, all of them are super old for some reason, that have like these powers to cure things that no one else can. I mean, really.
Is there proof of that?
Well, Kelly just said one.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, it's like all anecdotal, but I guess.
But I mean, it's not coincidental, maybe? Or
well, it's not scientifically approved or...
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, like, you can't go on PubMed and find a study.
Well, it's not, it's not legal.
I guess the skeptic in me is wondering, you know, like how they have the superpowers.
It's not legal. I mean, it's not like it's illegal, but I cannot go and say, you know, like I'm legally cured. Like,
you get like reimbursed by your insurance?
No, exactly.
I think it's about belief. So if the person goes to the shaman and believes that it's going to work, then it works.
But so what you're saying is it's about the mind. That's all it is. I mean, if you believe something, just like I'm not, this is not the same thing. But you know how they say when people lie, if you believe your lie, I mean you really believe it. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Like I guess I don't believe that stuff actually works.
Yeah.
But. Just like the psychic thing, I've had a lot of bad experiences with psychics and stuff like that, even though we know an amazing one. It's so hard for me to believe.
Yeah, I think it's in the same vein. I mean, part of it's belief, but part of it's, like, you know, you'll hear psychics talk about how they have, like, spiritual helpers and stuff like that. And, you know, I've heard some from, like, Native American cultures, different ones. When I learned about the one in Canada from that other woman, I was actually saying, it was right when we had all met and we were talking about getting the podcast going. I'm like, maybe one day if you could get me in touch with that person, like that would be so great to interview them for that.
There's none around here.
I'm sure there is, but it's just.
See, that's the thing. Like I have never been into this. I was not brought up like that, you know, never mind coming from a Catholic family. Like, so all of that was new. Believe me, when this woman told me that I have something cursed to me and the look on her face and when she told me, I mean, she was charging us money for that, right?
Yeah.
And she said, I could pretend to do something if I want your money. And I could tell you, go ahead, you're fine. But she said, I'm so sorry. And she didn't even charge me. I think that was that's what freaked me out the most.
Yeah, so that was the first one. So that was basically a tarot card reader.
That freaked me out because she didn't charge me. She just didn't.
She's like, just get out of my shop.
She basically, no, seriously. And wow. I was alone. My mom and my aunt were waiting outside their door. And for someone who didn't believe like me, feeling like crap.
And so how old were you at this time?
Like I said, I'm not sure, but I would say 15, 16, something 16. Like that. But I left that house. I mean, I was in tears.
What did you do from the moment you left that house until...
Well, my like I said, my aunt convinced my mom to take me to this man so much that she did. But when the time came that he asked me that I was supposed to get undressed, which is, common. But, I mean, for my mom to let me do that, that's when she was like, no. And she just... So I never got to get cured, per se, right?
If it was like John or Dan, like maybe be legit, but you have this like pretty Latin teenage girl.
And he was not like, he was so old. I mean, he barely even looked at me. And as soon as he saw me, he was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. He just knew. But it wasn't like, like when you hear like, I don't know. He asked me to get undressed. Maybe
I don't have a daughter, but in a pervert way,
not at all. He was just like old and he kind of like knew what he was going to do. It was weird. I totally trust him. But hey, my mom didn't let me. So what am I going to do, right?
Almost like a doctor. I mean, hey, it's your physical. Right. You know, take this off, put this little paper towel
and
over you.
Yeah, and I don't believe in those things. Or I didn't. I mean, I do, but I don't know. It's just...
Maybe at the time you didn't.
Well, I have my suspicions because I know people who, like Kelly's story said, I'm just open-minded. But I didn't do it, so sometimes that's my fear that...
Like you should have.
Yeah, what if I carry that with me all the time? I do think about it from time to time.
So as time went by after that, what any other
things happened? After that, I came to the U.S. I mean, nothing for years, after that. I was fine health-wise. My life changed. I came here.
And I remember you saying you were kind of like, we were saying power of the mind over matter. You were like, I can't fix this, so I'll just try to believe that maybe I don't have a curse.
Because what am I going to do, right? It's like if something cursed me, oh, my God, I have to fight it. And they know I'm okay. Like, I had the only... I mean, what else am I going to do?
So when you got here, did you, like, seek, like, different things or look for different things?
No, not at all.
Just kind of lived with it?
Yeah. You know, but when bad things happen to you, it's like,
That's the first thing you think of, yeah.
Well, it can help it. Not a lot, but I talk to Kelly about it quite often. Well,
yeah, I mean, she's run into, like, some pretty big life obstacles that aren't the typical...
Yeah.
You know, not saying it's a curse, but I mean, it's not like, oh, I stubbed my toe or why did I make this decision, like...
Right, it's like...
Some really big life things that's like, that doesn't happen to most people.
Like a huge rock, a little bigger than you should expect, so I do wonder, like, shoot, maybe if I would have done this, maybe my life would be different. I don't, you never know.
Well, I think everybody kind of does that. I mean, they do the same thing, but if I'd have done this, maybe my life...
believe me, it's because of that. It's like, I will never forget that woman's face when she saw me and she read the cards.
Yeah.
That, like, her expression. She was like, I mean, a stranger who didn't want to take my money.
Yeah.
You know, just because, and she actually wanted me to get out of there ASAP. That's what freaked me out, I guess.
Yeah. What was the second? So you didn't go to the shaman from her. You went to a second person. What was that? Was that a psychic or?
Well, she sent me to him.
Oh, okay.
And then time went by, and then I came here. Mm-hmm. And then my life was not too peachy. But anyway, it went on. And then 2 years ago, it wasn't last year, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Back to my aunt.
So she went back to Ecuador just for, like, vacation.
Yeah. I went for vacation. And my aunt is not the kind of person who lives by it. She believes in, like, energy and... You know, like, she will tell me things like, when you, like, in your house, you should place a mirror in front of the door so it will keep all the bad energies from coming to your house. Things like that, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how she knew this man. He is not even from our country. He's from somewhere up the Middle East. And she took me to him. He didn't read the cards or anything. And again, he freaked me out again because he read, I do not remember if it was tea or coffee. He made me drink something and asked me to leave a little bit left. I think it was tea. I really don't remember. But again, what freaked me out with this man is because he had no idea about me at all. And the first thing he mentioned was, I mean, I was home. So, I mean, I'm here. You know I'm not from this country, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm home, I mean, I'm home. And the first thing he said is like, wow, so you have been away for a long time and it hasn't been easy. Where are the ads for it?
Yeah. Not like your accent's changed. It was,
no, right. I mean, that's the first thing he said. I went there just because, I mean, I was like kind of like just neutral. Just, hey, whatever, we'll see.
20 years later, wow, after the whole shaman exactly thing.
And that's what he said. How is he going to know that I don't leave home? You know, that I'm not, that I, you know, that I have a hard life. And
yeah,
not just that, because we all do, I guess. It's easy to say that, but that I have lived out of my hometown for all those years.
Right, it's not like you picked up like a cheesy t-shirt at like the airport. Yeah, yeah. I heard Connecticut or something.
So I wasn't expecting anything. But when he said that, I was like, holy cow. He grabbed my attention totally. I'm like, whoa. And then he went on. He literally described my life. He described my husband. I mean, he went like, how you say, for the bull-eye? Bullseye.
Yeah, he hit the bullseye.
I mean, it was like he was my best friend who knew my whole life. It was weird.
I think a lot of people get that from psychics when they first see him. They're like, you can't believe what I heard.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And I do believe a lot of what they say, but there's just like in any other business, there's a lot of...
But it is details, though.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about me, like how... Like, yeah, how can you, like, say details that no one else will know unless you're my best friend who I talk to and ask advice from, you know? So, I mean, to be honest with you, from that, it was like an hour that I was with him. I don't remember all about. I told you when I came here, but I don't remember everything. But it was kind of interesting. He pretty much described my life. He's not a shaman or anything like that. He just described how my life is. And he said, you know, I'm not the type, like, I will not predict your future by any means. In fact, he said, like, regarding, like, per se, your marriage is, like, 50-50. Like, he was, like, the type of person who believe in, like, you call the energy if you're negative. So then kind of, like, negative things might come your way more so than positive things. Kind of. I guess we can all do that.
I live by that too. Negative brings negative and positive.
Right. I guess we all do that, but
yeah,
the details, I mean, he knew so much about me that was kind of interesting.
Did he mention the curse at all, or did you bring that up to him? Like, hey,
he didn't, but the one thing that it was kind of weird, and I did told you about, is that he didn't want to say something. He said, the only thing that I'm asking you to do is, like, pay attention to your dreams. He asked me, remember I told you?
Yeah.
He asked me, I need you to pay attention to your dreams. Whenever you dream something, if you can remember, if you get up in the middle of them, write them down. Google the meanings. They mean something important to you.
Hmm. Oh, boy, I hope that's not true.
I mean, you know,
my ex has been in my dream a couple times lately. So
I mean, I don't know. And then after that, he I don't remember everything, but he gave me a little amulet.
Yeah, like an amulet. So he was all about energy and stuff. So he gave you like a few things to protect yourself, basically, right?
Yes,
like not necessarily like from a big black mass, but
No. There was like a few baths with herbs that I was supposed to do that I never did, by the way. There was certain days that he asked me to bathe on salt, like full moons of, I think it was the fourth month of certain months that I wrote all of that down. And an amulet that he just wrote something, but it's not even Spanish, it's like Middle East, whatever language. And I'm supposed to wear it with me all the time. And I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and you wear it.
I do have it with me.
So what's in it? It's like a little stash that she has to like pin to like the inside of your shirt, basically, or like on the bra.
Yeah, it has to be always in my left side. On my right side, and no one can touch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even allowed to see. It's just a phrase that he wrote. He told me, even if you're curious, you're never going to be able to understand. Just don't let anyone touch it. It's just kind of like good energy type of thing. He never say anything about me being cursed, but he...
Did he say, like, maybe something follows you around? Or?
He didn't, but he did tell me that I need to pay attention to a few things, especially in my dreams.
Okay.
There were some things that he kind of messed up, I think. I told you. No. Yeah. Health-wise, in my family, he said that someone pretty soon is going to get incredibly sick and might die.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's always nice.
Yeah, right? I don't predict futures. Oh, but, you know, that person you really care about, they're gone.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is part of my problem here with these. So what ended up happening after about we want to get on with the curse? Like, that you feel, is there... Did you see anybody else afterwards? Did you...
No.
Something else happen?
No.
Do you feel things sometimes around you, or you see things in the house, that type of thing?
No. To be honest with you, no.
Everything's good now? I mean, you seem to be doing okay?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's nothing at all, I guess. That's just...
So you think that what he did with that little saying there, you think that has a lot to do with more positive energy and...
I guess I kind of like to believe that because, I mean, whether it's true or not, it's kind of nice to fall into something to make, I don't know, kind of like makes you feel
and
protected.
That goes back to what we were talking about before believing. If you believe, to me anyway,
true.
You know what I mean?
True.
You feel better.
Absolutely.
Okay, I do believe.
And you feel protected somehow.
I mean, that saying could say, get out of my office. For all you know. You know what I'm saying? But he told you that, and it's probably true. I don't know much about it, so I can't critique it at all. But if it makes you feel better. So I was like, go to the doctor. She was, I forgot what you call these type of people, but they go to the doctor because they're sick all the time. They think they're sick all the time.
Hypochondriac.
Yeah, hypochondriac.
Oh, yeah.
And the doctor started giving her, like, sugar pills. Like,
yeah, placebos.
Oh, this will cure you. And she'd be like, oh.
True.
I feel so much, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's not the same thing, but kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, I feel so much better ever since the doctor gave me my pills, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. I just, based on the person that I am, I don't think I'm like, I'm incredibly like,
but you probably also surround yourself with positive people. I mean, she's one of the happiest people that I've been around.
Yeah. She rocks.
So, and that's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Surround yourself with,
yes.
With positive, good spirits.
Yeah. I mean, you try. I mean, that's just life. You go on, and I mean, at the end of the day, like, I never did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
To cure myself from whatever curse I had.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think about it. Like I said, just when I talk to Kelly, sometimes I do.
Because we're always talking about paranormal stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Is that weird that would come up with me?
But like those events and these people who had no idea who I was and came up to know things about me that no one will know. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of that out there too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like that will haunt me forever. I mean, this woman, her expression when she sent me off my way and get me. You just want me out of her house, you know, like,
I think part of my problem with talking to people like that, and I love Karen, but I don't want to know the future. I don't want to change the future. I want to just, whatever's supposed to happen happens.
But that's not what they were doing. They were just trying to protect me from something that someone else did to our family.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there's
no
idea on who might have done that. Or...
No, but I mean, at the end, I was talking to my sister who somehow, after a couple of years, became, after I told her everything, somewhat more open to it. The only person that we thought of was our housekeeper because she was like really weird, like really angry, I think, because of everything that happened
at your
to
family,
her.
You said?
We think so. I mean, who knows?
Or just angry she was a housekeeper.
No, she was just angry person. Not with us. Just, you know.
We just don't know.
I mean, I don't think I've ever done anything that bad to anyone. Not to that point, anyways.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's some coincidence that kind of freaked me out for sure. And always will. I never did anything, like I said. I don't live my life by it.
Does the paranormal kind of freak you out a little bit anyway?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
She's had some other, like, ghost experiences.
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, remember one at my work?
Yeah, nothing to do with, like, a
curse. All right, I gotta hear this. You're going to have to...
Yeah, oh, that happened. Ghost stories.
Let's tell.
On Dead Try Paranormal.
That happened once, and I was texting. Didn't I text you as soon as that happened?
At work? So what was the story?
In Glastonbury, remember? When I was watching my girl, so I work in this huge house in Glastonbury. So it was just my two girls who were 5 and 7 years old, and we were all in the basement. So it was just the two girls and me.
She was a nanny.
Yes. And so we're in the basement, right? And then, oh my God, it sounded nothing but like a kid running upstairs. It was so clear that I thought the girls were upstairs.
Wow.
I did not know. So then I said to myself, I didn't get scared because I thought it was them. So I called them. I'm like, what are you doing, guys? And they both were right there in the room next to me, not upstairs. So even they freaked out.
Yeah.
And so they heard that too. And even they freaked out. That was, yeah. And I texted you right after that. I'm like, oh my God, I want to get out of here.
Investigation there if we could. We had one, actually, Dan, we had talked about this once, how we were just having a drink at a restaurant, you know, around here on the outside patio last summer, and my keychain, my big honking, like, bigger than my car keychain, so it was sitting on the middle of the table, and we were just hanging out. It was, like, near the, you know, the tables that have the umbrella in them. It was like up against the umbrella, so you know you have like about 18 inches of table to either side. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there and the keys just flew, like we both saw it. We're talking, so we're looking like at each other. I was looking up something on my phone for her actually, and but I could see the view. The keys just flew, and that was it. Nothing else weird happened, just the keys. And we saw the whole thing move, like not the little tiny, you know, buffalo wing alcohol pad that weighs nothing, you know, that didn't fly, hair didn't blow, napkins didn't blow, just this like 2-pound keychain just went flying off.
Wow.
The thing that was really weird. That was cool. That was actually more like my really recent personal experiences.
Yeah, see, I'm like her. I find that stuff really cool.
Yeah,
I just I'm done with the investigations. I have my own here.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. That's why, like, I like her story. You know, you hear a lot of people that have stories and they kind of get crazy into it in details. Yeah. And yours is just so level-headed, no, like...
straight to the point.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Here's something. Here's what I was told. Here's what was happening. And, like, you just learned a couple of things. So, one, like, the amulet. Yeah. What was the thing with the egg you were telling me about getting rid of energy?
Okay, so...
this is a homework assignment. One of you two can do it.
Actually, seriously.
I'm too scared.
You grab an egg, right? And you, I know it's kind of silly, like you rub it all against your body from bottom to top and from, how you say, within out, like this.
This is a rated PG podcast.
So the egg stays exterior to the body.
Yeah, let's say from your shoulder to your fingers.
This is another episode.
Okay. From your shoulder to your fingers, from your toes to your head, all the way out, just like expelling all the bad energies. And, you know, just, it's like kind of like just taking a bath with our egg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, when you're done, you break the egg, you open the egg, and a glass of water. And I was told that the egg, when you drop it, if it turns blackish, you know, how you call the white
yolk?
Part?
The yolk?
No, the other one.
The shell?
The white?
The white part. Yeah, okay. The white. It's supposed to mean like you have some type of bad energy or bad something.
Yeah.
So you should try it.
I feel pretty
just for
good.
The fun of it?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. You know? I'll try it.
I'm curious.
I like eggs.
But I think it's interesting, like, if you guys ever feel intrigued by shamans, like, it's amazing. Like, I mean, I know nothing about it, but mm-hmm. just a little what, 10 minutes I spent with this man telling me that he wanted to get me naked, really. But, like, it is amazing, like, how many people would be on hold waiting to have a consult with them. I'm talking from rich to poor, you know, it's, and what they have done to cure people who, not even doctors, have find what's wrong with them. From physical to mental illnesses. I mean, I think they are, like, I don't know, just gifted. It's just something very interesting.
Yeah. So just spiritual healing. That's cool.
Sounds good.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for coming.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Yes, thank you. Intriguing tales.
Great stories.
Homeworks to do.
Yeah, now we got homework. So we better cut it short and go.
Go get an egg.
That's enough for you. Night.
Just get an egg.
I'm just giving us homework. What the heck?
Hey, Dan, nobody told me about homework.
Well.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Dead Tribe Paranormal.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. After you're done, please listen to our other podcast, Rock Stories. In this series, we meet with music artists and bands that are out there keeping the scene alive. We capture and share their stories with you, the fans, and use their music as a soundtrack. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, the show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage. Unapologetic is the word that best describes the premier spoken word to music album from Lori Adver. Veering is 19 tracks of edgy poetry served on a platter of crazy rock and electronic music. You can listen to and purchase Veering by Lori Adver at echopodmedia.com under the music tab.
Hello world, you're listening to Echo Pod Media.